In this age of decadence, lack of direction and purpose, God has raised seven to raise models of integrity and power. Models that will rise above the limit of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances to dimensions beyond their imagination. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where He has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of a word of life. Join God's choice servant for the world of His grace.
Praise the Lord. I want to minister this morning on what I've entitled The Failed Plan. The Failed Plan. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, we'll read verses number 7 to verse number 9. The Failed Plan. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 7 to verse number 9. The Word of God says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory." Verse number 9. "But as it is written, I had not seen nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God had prepared for you and for me." The failed plan. Let me start this morning by reminding us that the greatest failure that has ever lived and still living is the devil. The greatest failure in life is Satan. He has been failing from the beginning, and he is still failing, and he will continue to fail until he gets to his destination. He failed in heaven, trying to take over the throne in heaven. And him and his co-failures were cast down. He went to Adam and Eve and tried to do the same thing he did in heaven, to take over the throne. He did it to Adam, he did it to the wife Eve, and he failed again because he thought that was the end, that he has captured man. He thought that finally, if he cannot get the throne in heaven, then he will be in charge of the throne here on earth. He failed again because God ensure that his plan did not work. And so God sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to come to the world to die for your sin and for my sin, to pay the price, to suffer the shame, to bear your burden, carried your burden, so that the plan of the devil concerning your life will not work. So every plan Satan takes against you failed from the day one he started planning it. I'd like you to understand this morning that it does not matter what you are going through. The devil is doing this in my life. The devil is doing that in my life. Just know that he started failing from the day one he planned it. Because God is several steps ahead of Satan. I don't know who I'm talking about this morning. God, the Almighty God, is several steps ahead of the devil. So whatever you are going through, sir, is a failed plan from Satan. He has failed. You are believing God for the fruit of the womb and it has not happened yet. Just believe this morning that it is a failed plan from God, from Satan. Why? Because God already has an alternative. God has a better plan to counter the plan of Satan in your life. That's why from what we have read from 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 that we read, verses 7 to 9, he said, if he had known that his plan will bring glory to God, he wouldn't have dared it. He wouldn't have bothered himself to crucify the Lord of glory. So everything the enemy, everything Satan did to Jesus was actually helping to fulfill the mandate of God. Everything to fulfill the mandate of God. Hear me this morning. Satan made a mistake, a terrible mistake, by beating Jesus. The beating upon Jesus, the stripes, was what gave us healing. By his stripes, we were healed. As a result of the beating, it gave us the privilege for our healing. So if Satan knew, he wouldn't have bothered to beat Jesus. He would have told his people, don't touch him. Because what you are doing to him, you are making a way for God's people to be healed when I attack. By his stripes, we were healed. Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 5. Scripture says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed. Somebody, you are here. I don't know what you are going through in your body. You are healed this morning. I say you are healed this morning. So everything the devil is doing to you now, sir, and that's the point I'm driving at, that whatever the enemy is doing to you now is the greatest mistake of his life. The greatest mistake of his life. There are people who are going through stuff. The stuff you are going through is making you stronger. Making you bring in the best out of you. Sometimes, most of us or some of us, we pray more when there are challenges. And so I ask the devil, why did you bring challenges my way? Because it pushes me to pray more and to devastate your kingdom. So it would have been better if you just leave me the way I am so that I won't bother myself to pray. So sometimes you pray more because there are wars before you. You strike the wall. You beat the wall. You hit the wall. Why? Because you want the war to give way. If there was no war, there wouldn't have been any need for you to pray. I'd like you to understand this morning that whatever the enemy is doing to you, if you cannot hear any message this morning, just hear this one. Whatever he is doing to you is bringing glory to your life. So, if they had known that what they are doing to you will work together for your good, they would have left you. They would have left you, sir. They would have left you, ma'am. If they knew that backbiting you will move you forward in life, they will have left you. If they knew that holding your womb for a while will give you twins or triplets, they will have left you. they knew that delaying you in getting married will give you the best spouse, they will have left you. They will have left you, sir. If they knew that eventually you will get married to somebody who works in an oil company, maybe a male or a female, they will have left you. If they knew that the way they are attacking you will push you to your next level, they will have left you alone. If they had known that the struggles they are making you go through will eventually take you to your high level in life, they will have left you alone. So the plan of the enemy against Jesus is the testimony and the message of today. Somebody whose amen will be louder. Whatever the enemy is doing now will work in your favor. Whatever the enemy is doing to your marriage now will work in your favor. Whatever the enemy is doing to your health now will work in your favor. You believe God, let your amen be louder. In Genesis chapter 50 verse 20, Joseph said to his brothers, Genesis chapter 50 verse number 20, Joseph said to his brothers, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring. And the Bible says you will live to your old age. That's the word of God. You will live to your old age, that none will die before his time. You know, as God is saying, you will fulfill destiny, you will fulfill purpose. So Jesus defied the plan of the devil. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 28 from verse 1 to 6, Matthew chapter 28 from verses number 1 to verse number 6, the scripture says, and at the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Verse number two, quickly please. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Verse number three, his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. Verse number four, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake. Your enemies will shake after today. In the name of Jesus, and became as dead men. Those who are troubling your destiny will become as dead men. In the name of Jesus. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Verse number 6, he is not here, he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. My Jesus is not in the grave. There is no sign to show that Jesus is in the grave. There is nothing to show. Other people, we can still see their bones in the grave. But in the case of Jesus, the grave was empty. Jesus is not dead. Our Jesus is not dead. I believe in him because he died for me. I believe in him because he did not stay in the grave. I believe in him because he rose from the dead. I believe in him because he ascended to the throne of God. There is no prophet, there is no man that has accomplished this feat, and no prophet, no man will be able to accomplish this feat. Our Jesus is not dead. Our Jesus is not in the grave. That is why you are not permitted to die before your time. You are not permitted to die before your time. You are not permitted to be in the grave of life. In the name of Jesus, you believe God, let your amen be louder. Amen. Shout it, my Jesus is not dead. This is what angers other religion. He angers other religion. This is what other religions have been trying to do, but they couldn't. You ask me, why? What, What was one of the reasons you gave your life to Christ? I thought that the major reason is because from where I'm coming from the religion I'm coming from, I've not seen or heard anything like this. So, for you that believes God, the enemy will not be able to prolong that delay anymore. In the name of Jesus. I don't know what delays you are going through, maybe delay or delays that you are going through. From today, that delay comes to an end. I hope you know we are celebrating the power of His resurrection. Christianity, like I said in the School of the Spirit, Christianity is centered, founded on power. And I said, don't call it power. Call it power. Power. That's the right pronunciation, right? Power. In Africa, we call it
power.
Power. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 4. It says, for my preaching and my teaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but what? But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Verse number 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. So our faith is not supposed to stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Verse number 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Verse number 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Verse number 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known, if they had known that Christianity will be endued with power, extraordinary power, they would have bothered to crucify the Lord of glory. Hear me, sir, you carry power, sir. I don't know why you are afraid of witches and witchcraft. You carry power. Someone say, I carry power. You carry power. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? Number 2. He failed to retain power. He failed to retain power. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 15. I like this scripture. In fact, I like so many scriptures. In fact, I like all the scriptures. But there are some scriptures I love, like, mwah. And having spoiled principalities and powers. You know there are powers. You know, if they had known, they would have crucified him. If they had known, they would have buried him in the grave. While they were rejoicing, Jesus is dead. Have you heard? They went about the city. Have you heard? Jesus is dead. Have you heard what happened? Jesus has been buried. Have you heard? Jesus is no more. Why? The kingdom of darkness was busy celebrating, drinking all sort of wine. I know their wine will be alcoholic because they are not born again. Drinking all sorts of wine, playing all sorts of music, dancing, celebrating. Satan stood before them and was laughing, Everybody, the agents were laughing. Jesus is dead. That Son of God is no more. And suddenly, Jesus appeared in the grave. Jesus appeared in hell. Jesus appeared where they were celebrating. The word of God says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them. He disgraced them. He embarrassed them. They were shocked when they saw him. Ah, but you are dead. He said, I am not dead. I am life. I am life personified. I have come to take back what you have taken from my people. That is the reason why I came. The essence of my coming is to retrieve the power that you have collected from my people. When you caused Adam and Eve to sin, you took that power from them, but I have come. But before we take that power from you, I will disgrace you. Somebody, you are here. Your enemies shall be disgraced. Your enemies shall be punished. Whoever is after your life, may the fire of God run after them. I don't know who I'm talking about. Somebody's about to embarrass you. That embarrassment will not come to you. That person will be embarrassed. In the name of Jesus, I like this scripture. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 11. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, all they that persecute me, they shall stumble. Your enemies will stumble. In the name of Jesus, and they shall not prevail. The enemies of your life shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed. Your enemies shall be ashamed. They shall not prosper. Your enemies will not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. Do I have a witness in the house? Shout a louder amen. They failed to retain the power that they collected. I am power intoxicated. I am full of power. Micah chapter 3 verse 8. So, he appeared, disgraced them, embarrassed them. Verse 14 of that same scripture, Colossians chapter 2, he said, blotting out. Jesus did so many things for us. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way and nailed it to what? To your cross? To whose cross? His cross. He nailed it to his cross. Everything that you have suffered, that the enemy has made you to suffer, Jesus took it. He wiped it off and he nailed it to the cross. So what are you looking for? It has been nailed to the cross. It has been nailed to the cross. Hear me? The devil does not have absolute power. He has powers, but it's not absolute. Whatever power the devil has, he stole it when he sinned. And one of the things that Jesus' death and resurrection did was to take back the power that the devil stole from us and hand it back to us. So I have power. So as it is here on earth, man is in charge. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. These are mysteries. As it is here on earth, you are in charge, not the devil. You are in charge, not situations and circumstances. You are in charge, sir. Whatever you allow will persist. Whatever you give room. So you are in charge, sir. Man is in charge. The book of the preacher, Ecclesiastes chapter number 8, verse number 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 4. Verse number 4, I beg your pardon. Ecclesiastes chapter number 8, verse number 4. It says, where the word of a king is, there is. How many kings are here in the house? There is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? So the significance of Jesus' death and resurrection was indeed God's way of showing the devil who is in charge. Oh my God. So who is in charge, sir? I'm in charge. I'm in charge. Somebody say, I'm in charge. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Revelation 1, 18. He said, I am who? Okay, KJV. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive. For what? The devil is crazy. He's mad as I'm talking now. He's crazy. He doesn't like us talking things like this. It's crazy, but let him go crazy. It's normal. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of... So, the keys of hell is not in the hand of the devil. The keys of death is not in the hand of the devil. In fact, God made me to understand in Luke chapter 10, verse number 19. He said, behold, I give unto you what? Please help me shout that power very well. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Every scorpion and serpents of life that has eaten to tread upon your destiny today, receive the power to tread upon them. I command the serpents of life to die. I command the scorpions of life to die in the name of Jesus Christ. For he has given us power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and upon all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. So his death and resurrection restored power to us to live a life that we do not deserve. Can I pray for somebody this morning? By the power of his resurrection, I declare and I decree, take back what the enemy has stolen from you. Take back what the enemy has taken from you. In the name of Jesus, can you shout a louder amen? Amen. Number three, he failed to continually hold destinies captive. Matthew chapter 27, verse 52. The devil failed to continually hold destinies captive. Destinies were in captivity until Jesus rose from the dead. And the graves were open. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Verse 53. And came out of the graves after his what? After his resurrection. And came out of the graves after his resurrection. And went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Somebody, you are here. From obscurity, you are coming to limelight. The devil has covered your destiny for long. The scripture says, after resurrection, destinies that were held captive were set free. When Jesus died, like I said, he descended to hell. One of the things he did was to set captives free. To set captives free. This morning, everyone under the captivity of the enemy, you are hereby set free. In the name of Jesus. So the opening of the grave was the beginning of the release of God's people from captivity. When graves are open, destinies arises. When graves are open, destinies arises. Nobody becomes great in the graves of life. You don't become great in the grave of life. Anyone who is living, you don't have any business with the graves of life. You want to become great, you must come out of hiding. You must come out of the graves of life. You remember in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse number 12, God said to Ezekiel, prophesy. Ezekiel 37, verse 12, God said to Ezekiel, prophesy, and I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves. And in verse 10, Ezekiel prophesy as commanded, and the word of God said, breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. This morning, I stand in the office of Ezekiel upon this exalted altar, and I command everyone in the grave of life, I command you to come out. I command you to come out. In the grave of poverty, come out. In the grave of affliction, come out. In the grave of sickness, come out. In the grave of delay, come out. Somebody, I command you to come out. In the name of Jesus Christ, somebody is here. What limited you, henceforth, will not be able to limit you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I don't know who I'm talking about. Every buried glory, I command you, arise. I command buried glory, arise. Come out of the grave. It is resurrection moment. Come out of the grave. Come out of that hiding. Whoever has covered your destiny, whoever has covered your family from being seen, cover your destiny from prospering. I command them this morning, let the fire of God consume them. In the name of Jesus Christ, shout a louder amen. He failed. And he's still failing. And he will continue to fail in the name of Jesus. Number four, he failed to prevent man's access to God. Matthew 27, verse number 51. Matthew 27, verse 51. He failed to prevent man's access to God. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. The veil was a symbol of separation between God and man. In those days, you cannot enter into the Holy of Holies. In those days, the only person that can speak on your behalf to God are the priests. No man can enter. So you want to talk to God, you speak to the priest who has the permission to enter. But when Jesus rose from the grave, he broke the partition. He ensured that the barricade was removed. So I don't need any priest to talk to my father. I don't need to go and see any prophet to know what God is saying concerning me. I don't need any permission from any pastor. I don't need any permission from any man or any woman to speak to my God. The access has been granted. Somebody say access granted. You remember our father preached on the message, access granted. Somebody are here, access is hereby granted. Not just to the presence of God, to that job that you are looking for, access is hereby granted. Concern your marital destiny, access is hereby granted. In the name of Jesus Christ. So the veil is a symbol of separation between God and man. No man could go beyond the veil into the holies of holy to commune with God except the priest who makes atonement on our behalf. Man was denied access, but at the death of Jesus, when he resurrected, the word of God says the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake. The earth did quake. There was an opening. God gave us access. God ensured that there was no barricade between us and him. And so the death of Jesus, the shedding of his blood, the veil that was separating man from God was torn into two. Believers now have direct access to God, they have direct access to Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 19. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 19. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Lord, I have confidence through the blood of Jesus to come into the place where you are. Ah, to come into the place where you are. So, what separated you from God was removed by his resurrection. Finally, number five, he failed to keep man in the bondage of sin. There is nothing left, sir, concerning God's purpose for your life that has not been handled or paid for through his death and resurrection. You hear the choir sing. There is nothing, nothing left concerning God's purpose for your life that hasn't been handled or paid for through his death and resurrection. John chapter 19, verse number 30. John chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore, John 19, 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. It's finished, is completed. Job completed. Concerning you, my job for you is completed. What he's saying is that the essence of my coming for you is finished, is completed. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. So what is Jesus saying? That whatever the devil expected you to pay because of the iniquity of Adam and Eve, I have cleared it. I have settled it. I have finished it. That's what he's saying. He's saying any record the devil is keeping concerning you is useless. It does not count. Whatever record is keeping. Oh, you did this in the past. Oh, you did that. Oh, I am pointing and accusing at you. Yeah, you stole. Oh, Jesus said, I have finished it. Jesus said, I have cleared it. Jesus said, that record that the devil is keeping concerning you is useless. It's useless. Jesus paid the debt and deleted the records. That's what he's saying. That's why when you give your life to Christ, your record of sin, your record of unrighteousness, the word of God says, is no longer remembered. What God normally do is that he will tear the record. He tears it to pieces. He doesn't remember what you have done in the past. You are a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So Jesus has finished it. Jesus deleted the records. He deleted it from the hands of the devil. Even when you sin, there is remission for that sin, but not a license for you to continue to sin. He paid the price. Not a license for you to continue to sin. So if you are born again and you are still sinning, you are erring, you are disobeying. You are crucifying Jesus again the second time. And Jesus cannot be crucified the second time. So it means that you are crucifying yourself. It's a cross that you are carrying. The devil has placed a cross upon your neck. If you are born again, you have the power. For those of us that understands the power of the resurrection, if you are born again, you have power to overcome sin. He said, therefore, he says, sin shall no longer have dominion over me. Why? Because of his resurrection, the power of his resurrection. So if you are born again and you are still sinning, you are born again You can still fornicate at will. You still commit adultery at will. I said the school of the spirit. You still cheat at will. You can still falsify records at will. You find pleasure in doing those things. They hear me? You are carrying a cross. In fact, that cross is bigger than the cross that Jesus carried, because the devil will not just give you one cross. He will give you several crosses to carry. And those crosses will become a burden upon your life that will slow you down. It becomes a burden upon your life that will eventually kill you. And when he kills you, you go to hell, not to heaven. Because you sin deliberately, willfully, after you have given your life to Christ. But the door for repentance is still open. The throne of grace is still open. For two categories of people this morning, for those who are born again and they are still sinning, you have this moment to repent. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And for those who have not given their life to Christ, you don't know God, you don't know Jesus, you have this moment. The throne of grace is open also for you to give your life to Christ and to turn from your unrighteous way and begin to live a life of righteousness. Can you bow down your heads this morning? Can you bow down your heads this morning? You are here this morning, you are born again, you are a Christian. And you are still sinning. Sin has dominion over you. Wherever you are, just put your right hand on your chest and say, Lord Jesus, I am sorry for the way I am living my life. You know yourself. You know yourself. You know yourself. I am sorry for the way I have been living my life. People know me as a Christian. People know that I'm born again. But I know the kind of life I live outside of church. Talk to him. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Lord, forgive me. You are here this morning. You committed one atrocity yesterday. Yesterday. Just talk to God. God sees you. He knows you. He said you committed an atrocity yesterday and you are here in church this morning. Nobody knows, but God knows, the devil knows, and you yourself, you know. Talk to him. Ask him. He will forgive you if you are sincere in your heart. Say, Lord, I am sorry. I am sorry. I am sorry. I am sorry, Lord. You are a worker this morning and you are still messing up your life. The throne of grace is open for you. It's a resurrection morning. The throne of grace is open for you. Talk to him also. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Have mercy. Cleanse me, purify me with the blood of Jesus. Make me whole. Make a promise before God. I promise not to do it again. I promise to serve you faithfully and sincerely. Help me. Let the power of this sin be broken over my life by your resurrection power. In the name of Jesus. So you are here this morning. You have not given your life to Christ. You are not born again. You want Jesus to come into your life. Wherever you are, can you raise your hand up? You want to give your life to Christ? It's a resurrection morning. You want to say, Jesus, I want to surrender my life to you. Wherever you are, can I see anybody like that in church this morning? I want to give my life to Christ. Thank you, Jesus. For everyone that has made confession this morning, by the blood of Jesus Christ, your sins are hereby forgiven. In the name of Jesus. I say your sins are hereby forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, everlasting Father. For in Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Can you shout a louder amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to receive your tithe this morning.
You have just listened to the Word of His Grace through God's Choice Servant. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join God's Choice Servant in life-changing services at the Light Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda UA Road, Ibadan. Every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.